The question was asked, are people ever given challenges that they can't handle? Or what was the wording again?
Used? Well, I don't know. What's the Torah say?
A person doesn't get a challenge that he can't stand up to. So I just think we have to define what the words "stand up to" mean. Meaning, let's just look at a few extreme examples, okay? The verse says in Ecclesiastes in Koheles, "Dim'at ha'shukim," the tear of those who have been taken advantage of, ve'en lahem menachem, and no one's comforting them with that tear. So if we look at that pasuk can describe all kinds of circumstances. There are circumstances all over the world where people are being abused, or people are abusing their power, and they have ein lahem menachem, like Kohelet says, there's no one there to comfort them. Take it a spouse that's being abused, take it orphans that are being abused, take it children that are being abused. There are all kinds of situations. No one's there to comfort them. So now we Shlomo HaMelech brings up the problem, right? There, you live in a world and you cannot ignore that there are things that, from our perspective, are gross injustices. Okay? You want to bring up the example of the Holocaust. What did that child do? I always like bringing up the example of a child in the oncology ward. What do you want from the kid? What did he do? But I prefer the examples of abuse, because there we see how one person used their free will to hurt someone else. Meaning, you could say the Holocaust is the same, I'm saying, but that's not the same as a child in the oncology ward. That's a slightly different question of righteous people suffering. So the question is a big one. But before we tackle that aspect of the question, after having given it legitimacy, I want to look at a different aspect of the question, okay? Let's put that on the side for a second, even though we have to come back to it, okay? And the other side of the story is that in most people's lives, I would say everyone's life, but I don't like saying bombastic sentences. If the Torah said it, then I could say it. But generally, people will suffer injustices. Part of life is dealing with the fact that there are things that are not fair. I remember as a child when the teacher used to tell us life's not fair, if they ever let me get in a word edgewise, then my answer would be, bad enough I have to deal with life that's not fair, I shouldn't have to deal with a teacher that's not fair. That's not an excuse. You know, when a teacher says life's not fair, so therefore she could be not fair. What does that have to do with it? But the danger is that in the grand scheme of things, we're all going to have to deal with things that aren't fair. And we can look at it as a victim, or we can look at it as a survivor. And the two are just two perspectives. I often tell the story how an old man came to me about 5 years ago and asked me, do I have to fast Yom Kippur? So I said, why yes and why no? So he said, I just had open heart surgery this month. I don't remember, 2, 3, 4 weeks ago. And I just got home from the hospital. And then he picks up his shirt and he shows me the scar. And then he says, but that's nothing. And then he starts showing me scars all over his body. And I'm wondering what he's showing me. And then he held out his hand and he shows me a tattoo. So I said, what are you showing me? He said, this tattoo is the battalion that was with Ariel Sharon. Only we have it. It's the equivalent of the Israeli Navy SEALs. I'm sorry to hear they tattooed themselves. That's a biblical prohibition. But okay. So he says to me, you see all these scars? With these scars, I helped conquer the land of Israel. And he stood there the next half hour telling me war stories of how he conquered different things. Okay, so the question of Yom Kippur stood on the side, and I got to hear war stories, beautiful stories, for a half hour. Mamash genius stories. How we used small armies, but we got the enemy to think we had bigger armies. All kinds of brilliant stories. At any rate, I walked away from the conversation thinking back to all the wounds I saw on his body. The guy lifted up his shirt and he shows me, this is where I got shot here, and this is why I got torn up as we climbed this ravine, and this is when we were working to free the old city. And the guy is proud of it. And the guy says, these are my scars. This is my dedication to the people of Israel. And I always compare that story with another friend of mine who I met at a hospital ward. And he was telling me how difficult he has a child with a disability. And he was telling me about how that disability ends up impacting the whole family. And then he says to me at the end of the conversation, he says, you know, even when a couple works through it, you walk away and you have scars. And I was thinking about it and I said to myself, his marriage ain't in a good place. And unfortunately, within 2 years, he was divorced. Now, the guy was married over 2 decades. But one guy looked at his scars and said, look at what I accomplished. And the other guy looked at his scars and said, look at what I am taking with me. This is residual scars I'm taking with me. This is I'm not done with it. So my father used to tell us a line when we were growing up, which is an important line. I thank God was not abused at home. And my father used to tell us when we'd get upset, he'd say, you'll be able to wear a t-shirt that says, I am a survivor. Okay? You survived my house. But then my father would tell us, but you should know that every person can walk around with a teacher that says, I am a survivor. We are all our parents' survivors. Our parents, so obviously some people had it better and some people had it worse. I'm not saying that you can compare. But I'm saying before we discuss the cases that are more extreme, we have to realize the danger here. Because if we are quick to legitimize a person's suffering and say, you don't have to because, look, you have an excuse, well then, I think everyone has excuses. When I was young, before I was bar mitzvah, I was told by a teacher that I would never be observant. And that comment stayed with me for years. I had a teacher say about me in a public setting that I would be an apostate and I would never observe Torah and mitzvahs. Now, you get that from a teacher who I liked. You're tempted to live up to the prophecy, right? I'm giving you one example. I discovered a number of years ago that I was probably abused in school because a certain teacher of mine was caught molesting, and they say he was molesting for years. I don't remember it, but I remember sitting on his lap often. Now what? Now what am I supposed to say? So I have excuses. No, we all have excuses. I honestly don't remember. I remember sitting on his lap. I don't remember more than that. So, okay, I guess it didn't affect me too much, right? But you know, the guy's in jail today. I'm giving small examples, but in life, we have a lot of examples. And the danger is if a person says, after everything I went through, be thankful I'm not a burglar, be thankful I'm not a thief, be thankful I'm not a who knows what. No, every person can say that. Some more and some less. So that's the other side of the coin. Now let's go look at the first point, though. We will take the concept we discussed earlier, and this is the important balanced approach. There was once a chatan, a groom, whose mother-in-law called him up and started giving him over the head. And somewhere in the middle of the conversation, he hung up the phone on her and shut the phone. And then he went to his teacher, and I was there when it came. And he said to his teacher, I don't know what to do. I felt like if I stayed on the phone with her, my future mother-in-law, I'd answer her. And I didn't want to hear what she has to say, and I didn't want to answer her. So I'll call her back in an hour when I'm calmer, and I'll say, I'm sorry, I must have been in a place where there was no reception. But I'm killing myself. I never hung up on a person before in my life. What am I supposed to do? So the rabbi said to him, he said, who said you could have done better? Maybe what you did was right. Meaning if you would have yelled at her, that would have been wrong. And you felt like you couldn't continue listening to her, so you got out of the conversation in a way that in an hour you'll give a good excuse and you'll move on in life, right? Who said what you did was wrong? Meaning you can look at that and say he hung up on his mother-in-law. You can look at that and say he had 3 choices and he didn't feel like he had a 4th choice. He didn't feel like he could do better under the circumstance. So out of those choices, he chose the right one. In life, sometimes we compare ourselves to a perfect scenario. And we say, I should have. Who said you should have? Meaning when you're asking the question, you're saying, are people given situations which they couldn't have handled? I ask, what do you mean couldn't have handled? Maybe what they did is called handling it. You know, the halacha says that a father who's abusive, the son doesn't have to respect him. So you know how many people are beating themselves up? They learn halacha, they learn the laws of honoring their parents, and then they say, but my father did this to me and I wasn't respectful. Who said you should have been respectful? There the halacha even sides with the kid. But I'm saying there are many scenarios where we take ourselves to task because we have expectations that are not the Torah's expectation. And that's why I'm taking the concept that was mentioned and I'm saying that concept isn't only obligating, it's also liberating. Because what that concept says is that God knows what I'm going through more than I know it. And He knows what I'm capable of. So on the one hand, I can't cut myself short. On the other hand, I have to realize that He doesn't expect of me to do things that I can't do. He expects of me what I could do. And I have to live up to what I could do. But He doesn't have expectations that are unfair. So people after the Holocaust are going to say, I didn't eat matzah on the night of Passover. Okay. That's not my doing, right? I did what I could. And so on. I think as much as I could cover in the short time we have, we're out of time. I think we started an approach that I think you can develop into a broader answer. I hope. I hope we started. Like I said, this is a big concept and we're out of time.